You're listening to Extinction Rebellion Radio on WBAI.
Welcome to the Rebellion.
Welcome to Extinction Rebellion Radio on WBAI with Matthew Kearney and Elise Lane. We have so much climate news to catch up on. You know, a lot has been happening. We love to have our interviews with climate scientists and filmmakers and all types of scholars who have noticed something others haven't or who have a clear way of explaining something important. And we will do more of that, I promise you. But this week, let's try to catch up on some of the big climate news that's been going on.
On June 16th, California declared a state of emergency because of excessive heat. So California has declared a climate emergency. They're just not calling it that. Extinction Rebellion's first demand is, of course, to tell the truth. And we have climate emergency campaigns all over trying to get public officials to declare a climate emergency. That first demand of tell the truth is addressed to everybody, but especially to public officials and the news media. California should be telling us that this state of emergency, which they've already declared, is due to the climate crisis, that it's human activity that's producing all of this heat. If they said that, it would build public support for doing something about it. We are currently, as an overall society, doing almost nothing about it, and hiding the truth is going to prolong that inaction and make the crisis worse. So the state of California is hiding the truth from the public by saying the heat creates a quote-unquote state of emergency and then not saying anything about what's creating the heat. We're not likely to make much progress unless we start telling the truth.
Hey, Matthew, let me make a slight correction. Our elected officials in California are hiding the truth. They can't handle the truth. That's my Jack Nicholson imitation. Anyway, as a side note, wouldn't it be amazing if President Joe Biden did a fireside chat with the American people to talk about what's happening all along the West Coast and in Western states, you know, with the heat and that horrible mega drought that we're in the midst of? You know, just a nice chat and primer about our climate emergency. Can you imagine that?
Thank you for thanks to Jack Nicholson for special appearance on the show. Now, there's a lot more here. Gavin Newsom, the governor, is asking Californians to conserve energy during peak times. And the agency that operates the electrical grid, that's called the California Independent System Operator, has asked people to turn off their lights, turn off their appliances, and set their thermostats, those who have thermostats, to 78 degrees or higher. So not only has California declared a climate emergency, but not called it that, they're also trying to ration electricity. In a way, California is trying to ration electricity. It's not a full-blown rationing scheme, but it is an attempt to defer energy use based on demand and climate conditions. And we actually need more of this. We've talked a little bit on this program about rationing electricity, and we've suggested it's best if it's an actual plan, not just a public advisory asking people to turn off their lights. But what I would want listeners to notice is that some effort to organize electricity and to time it with demand and heat is already happening. It's not very extensive, but we're already doing like the very basic version of this. So if somebody tells you that electricity rationing is totally impractical and we shouldn't be contemplating it and we shouldn't be planning for it, point out that we're already doing it.
Yes, we are. And just an FYI, Newsom has asked us folks here in California to turn off our lights. But over the course of his administration, Newsom has signed 1,709 oil and gas production permits. The oil and gas industry doesn't like emergencies, so neither does Newsom for that matter.
Globally speaking, the G7 had its meeting this past June. Listeners probably know the G7 consists of the seven democratic countries with the largest economies. So Canada, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, United Kingdom, and the United States. And the European Union joins in these meetings as well. This set of countries partially overlaps with the set of countries that will need to act in concert if we're ever going to make progress on addressing the climate crisis. Their statement on climate from this last meeting said that they want to phase out fossil fuel-based vehicles, but they give no target date, no timeline, they earmark no resources for this, and they give no measures for how to achieve this. This is typical from these big international meetings, a somewhat vague goal that sounds good at first blush, but nothing about how to achieve that goal. Often the leaders will give a timeline that's years down the road or even decades down the road, like 2040 or 2050. This time they didn't even bother to give a timeline. So the goal is worthy, no plan. The G7 also says they want to offer solar power and railways for developing countries, but again, no details. It's rare for major news organizations like the BBC to directly criticize G7 leaders in their coverage, but it did this time. The BBC says this offer of solar panels and railways appeared to have been invented on the fly. It's as though they realized, the G7 leaders, it's as though they realized they weren't saying enough on climate. So real quick, let's think of something. What can we say? So as before, world leaders are making vague statements with no content, no plan, no information. They want to appear to be addressing the crisis without taking any measures to address the crisis.
You know, Matt, you have to really wonder what these people, what kind of world these people live in, or what they imagine as their own individual plan Bs. I mean, what do they have in mind? Bunkers, maybe?
Plan B. Well, they don't have a plan A, let alone a plan, or at least not the one that they're sharing publicly. Maybe plan B is easier. Speaking of big international meetings, the next major gathering of world leaders will be at the United Nations in New York in September. And after that, the really big one, specifically on climate, is COP26 in Glasgow, Scotland, in November.
Yay, another opportunity to make vague statements.
So September in New York, November in Glasgow. The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, IPCC, has a major report in progress on climate. In fact, they have a draft almost completed, but unhelpfully, it's not scheduled to be released until after those meetings take place. I don't know whose idea that was.
Let me guess, Canada, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, United Kingdom, United States, maybe the European Union.
It makes it easier for them, or companies therein that have, you know, substantial capture of those governments.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, maybe somewhere along the line, there was fossil fuel lobbying to get that report delayed. I realize it takes time to write up a public report, but guys, it's not going to be useful if it's not available before the big climate decisions are made. You have information. Can you release it, please?
You know, maybe we should call the G7 what it is, a fossil fuel lobby.
Well, somebody on the inside decided to leak the draft report. They leaked it to AFP, Agence France-Presse. That's one of the biggest international wire services, similar to Reuters. AFP is kind of like the Associated Press for the world. I wouldn't even be surprised, and this is pure speculation, but I wouldn't even be surprised if the leaker is a senior person at the IPCC who is not happy with the restrictions that have been put on their schedule. Certainly it's someone high up enough or involved enough to have access to the entire draft report. So AFP got the draft report. And this report reads like an Extinction Rebellion document. It is everything we have been saying. I'll just read from the AFP coverage because I couldn't possibly put it any better. The headline is "Crushing Climate Impacts to Hit Sooner Than Feared." And what follows are just direct quotes from the article. Quote, climate change will fundamentally reshape life on Earth in the coming decades, even if humans can tame planet-warming greenhouse gas emissions, according to a landmark draft report from the UN's climate science advisors. Species extinction, more widespread disease, unlivable heat, ecosystem collapse, cities menaced by rising seas. These and other devastating climate impacts are accelerating and bound to become painfully obvious before a child born today turns 30. The choices societies make now will determine whether our species thrives or simply survives as the 21st century unfolds, the IPCC says in a draft report. But dangerous thresholds are closer than once thought, and dire consequences stemming from decades of unbridled carbon emission are unavoidable, unquote. Deep breath. He goes on, quote, those least responsible for global warming will suffer disproportionately, the report makes clear. And it goes on, quote, a decade ago, scientists believed that limiting global warming to 2 degrees Celsius above mid-19th century levels would be enough to safeguard our future. On current trends, we're heading for 3 degrees Celsius at best. That's worth repeating. On current trends, we're heading for 3 degrees Celsius at best. End quote. And it goes on. Quote, in 2050, coastal cities on the front line of the climate crisis will see hundreds of millions of people at risk from floods and increasingly frequent storm surges made more deadly by rising seas. Some 350 million more people living in urban areas will be exposed to water scarcity from severe droughts at 1.5 degrees Celsius of warming, 410 million people at 2 degrees Celsius. That extra half a degree will also mean 420 million more people exposed to extreme and potentially lethal heat waves. End quote. And here is a quote directly from the IPCC draft report. Quote, we need transformational change operating on processes and behaviors at all levels, individual, communities, business, institutions, and government. We must redefine our way of life. End quote. That should sink in. If you're listening to this on a recording, you might want to hit pause and sit with that for a minute. Climate activists have criticized the IPCC over the years for being far too rosy and conservative in what they report. And this is what the IPCC is saying. These are the people who have been too rosy in the past. We must redefine our way of life.
This is Matthew Kearney and Elise Lane. You are listening to Extinction Rebellion Radio on WBAI 99.5 FM New York. Among our topics this week, we are talking about the upcoming IPCC report that is devastating and is identical to what Extinction Rebellion has been saying all along. We are talking about climate emergency declarations that aren't called that and should be. And we are talking about some good news about preventing emissions from rotting Spanish fruit. You know, Matt, one thing the report says that speaks to the very reason Extinction Rebellion exists and that should make the hair on the back of your neck stand up is this, quote, life on Earth can recover from a drastic climate shift by evolving into new species and creating new ecosystems. Humans cannot, end quote. Humans cannot. And other species really aren't doing so well either. We are already in the midst of Earth's sixth great extinction. This ongoing extinction event is the result of human activity, our activity. As Earth.org notes, quote, more than 500 species of land animals are on the brink of extinction and are likely to be lost within 20 years. The same number were lost over the whole of the last century. Scientists say that without the human destruction of nature, this rate of loss would have taken thousands of years, and they warn that this may be a tipping point for the collapse of civilization. Indeed, this ongoing sixth mass extinction may be the most serious environmental threat to the persistence of civilization because it is irreversible, end quote. So Extinction Rebellion is a rebellion against the forces that are extinguishing life on Earth. Now, you know, we tend to emphasize rebellion in what we do, but extinction is really the thing, and we should not lose sight of it. XR is a rebellion against those who preach that Earth is a disposable planet. It is a rebellion against folks like Louisiana Representative Danny McCormick, who this past May introduced a bill at the Louisiana Capitol to make Louisiana a, quote, fossil fuel sanctuary, end quote. You heard that right. A fossil fuel sanctuary, sort of like a bird sanctuary, but instead of, it's one for BP and Chevron refineries. It's a sacred space, right? McCormick wants to ban local and state employees from enforcing federal laws and regulations that negatively impact petrol companies, that negatively impact, in other words, forces that are extinguishing life on Earth. Extinction is a policy choice, not an inevitability. We rebel against that policy choice because, as the IPCC report makes abundantly clear, we really have no choice but to rebel.
Elise, as you know, there's a lot of important data in this IPCC report, but maybe we can just close this segment by mentioning the single most important number, and that's temperature. If 1.5 degrees is the supposed target and 2 degrees is the supposed maximum, well, you might want to know where are we are now. The IPCC says that at the beginning of this year, we were at 1.1 degrees. Already, humans have increased average global temperatures by 1.1 degrees Celsius. The highest temperatures ever recorded in Canada, all time, was just within the last 2 weeks. In a town called Lytton, British Columbia, it was 49.6 degrees Celsius. That's a little over 121 degrees Fahrenheit. 121 degrees.
That's crazy.
In a normally temperate region. I mean, Canada's supposed to be the place where it's cool. Now, as I was researching this show, I had to keep updating that number. Each time I opened a news article on the heat wave from this whole last week, it was another all-time record for Canadian heat. So Lytton, British Columbia broke its own record at least 4 times in the last week. It was almost comical. Every time I looked, there was a new record. That's only June. But the comedy turned to tragedy when the whole town of Lytton burned down. It was a wildfire, and it reached Lytton June 30th. Everything had become extremely dry, and residents say in the space of about 15 minutes, everything was on fire. 80% of the town was destroyed. At least 2 people died. For the entire province of British Columbia, the death toll from this heat wave, the confirmed death toll from the last report I saw, was 719 people.
It's horrible. So again, the highest temperature in Canadian history as we're recording this was a little over 121 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, just how hot is this? According to a BBC report, at least one swimming pool near Vancouver had to close because it was too hot to be safe for humans. In Eugene, Oregon, they've stopped the Olympic qualifying trials, actually not for the athletes who can go to air-conditioned locker rooms after they compete, but for the spectators sitting in the sun. The authorities announced that everyone else had to leave because they were closing the stadium because it was unsafe to be outside. The state of Oregon repealed its coronavirus capacity limits so that people could crowd into air-conditioned spaces like malls and movie theaters. How crazy is that? Now, the photos of cooling centers in the Pacific Northwest from the past couple of weeks are really striking. It's like gymnasium-sized spaces laid out with cots and people are laying down on them. It looks like the homeless shelter I used to volunteer at, only cleaner and more spaced out. The heat is so bad in Oregon, Washington State, British Columbia, that people can't stay in their homes. If they don't have good air conditioning, they have to go to these shelters or else risk their health, maybe even their lives in the heat wave. Folks, this is already happening. We used to think of climate disrupting society 50 years from now, but here it is, right? People are filling up shelters because they can't even be in their own homes. And if this heat wave passes or moves to another place and people can return to their homes and be outside again and go to a swimming pool again, maybe we'll figure out, okay, at least that's over. I wish it were so. This is going to be what summer is like from now on. Already, you know, we need to rebel against extinction. Speaking of rebellion, an international team of lawyers last month adopted a new definition of ecocide. If adopted, that definition would, as Al Jazeera News reports, quote, put environmental destruction on par with war crimes, paving the way for the prosecution of world leaders and corporate chiefs for the worst attacks on nature, end quote. Now, this is good news, not only because it targets what are indeed real crimes against our environment, but also because it is a paradigm shift. It says no to a way of life that makes our natural environment a thing we can exploit and use up as we see fit, regardless of the consequences. You know, the proposed law outlines ecocide as, quote, unlawful or wanton acts committed with knowledge that there is a substantial likelihood of severe and either widespread or long-term damage to the environment being caused by those acts, end quote. Now, one of the cool things about this law is that it says the crimes can be committed anywhere, you know, from the Earth's biosphere to outer space. Now, think of all that carbon and methane emitted into and clogging up our skies, or, you know, the billionaires flying to Mars. So this is a proposal. The next step, as the Brussels Times reports, is for some states to bring the proposed amendments to the next General Assembly of the International Criminal Court, or that's the ICC, and they'll bring that in December. The authors of the proposed law hope the ICC will endorse it and begin to hold big polluters accountable for their actions.
In other good news, or good-ish news, from The Guardian, the Spanish city of Barcelona is piloting solar panel sidewalks. 50 square meters of non-slip solar panels were installed in a park. After 6 months, they will be assessed for their durability. Most of Spain's solar power is currently from farms in remote areas. The hope is to get power sources closer to cities where the demand is greatest. But in a densely populated city like Barcelona, rooftops alone will not be enough. We want to cover rooftops and solar panels, Elis. We do want rooftop solar panels, but we want more than just that. If solar panel sidewalks are successful, 50 square meters could power 3 homes.
Fantastic.
So step in the right direction, right?
Yes.
100 kilometers away, Sevilla, Spain is famous for its oranges. The blossoms smell lovely, but the fruit itself tastes bitter and is mostly left to decompose on the street. Although it can be used along with claret wine and whole cloves to make a fancy drink called Bishop à la Prusse, but it's complicated and takes a couple of days for the wine to sink in. So it's not a drink for those desiring instant gratification. So some of those oranges that don't end up in Bishop's à la Prusse do go to Britain to become marmalade. And some of those oranges do go to France to get infused with cognac and thereby become Grand Marnier liqueur. So, but those that don't, a lot of these bitter oranges just fall and rot on the ground. And the city of Sevilla, so many fall and rot on the ground that the city of Sevilla employs 200 people to clean them up. Now, as you know, Elise, rotting fruit produces methane. Sevilla plans to take the methane generated by 35 tons of old oranges and turn it into energy that will power water filtration for the city. And that will prevent the methane from getting into the atmosphere, and it will cut the need for burning some amount of fossil fuel. Eventually, if they do this perfectly and all 15,000 tons of oranges in the region were converted into electricity, they could power 73,000 homes.
That's a lot.
If they can get this figured out, I would even be willing to live without Grand Marnier and Bishop à la Prusse.
Well, speak for yourself, Matt. What's a margarita without a Grand Marnier?
A green margarita.
Yeah, well, all right.
We can try it. Well, if it'll save emissions, I'll try it.
You're listening to WBAI's Extinction Rebellion Radio with Matthew Kearney and Elise Lane, and we've been talking about recent climate crisis news, including a proposed law of ecocide that an international team of lawyers hopes the ICC will adopt, rotten oranges in Seville, and a lawsuit filed by the Florida Wetlands.
More good news. Here are the Animal Legal Defense Fund and, again, The Guardian, the sources for this. A network of marshes, lakes, and streams is suing the state of Florida and a developer that wants to fill them in and build on them. Now, what I just said is not a grammatical mistake. The wetlands are suing. This is a little bit like what you were just getting at a few minutes ago, at least with the ecocide definition, but this case in an American context. If it sounds strange to grant quote-unquote personhood to non-human entities, remember that we already do this in our legal system. The law currently recognizes corporations, ships, and municipalities as persons under the law. If ExxonMobil Corporation and Citgo can be granted rights, surely water deserves them too. Thanks to Nancy Pendergrast for researching our good news segment. Thanks to James Cerrone for sound editing. And above all, thanks to the whistleblower who leaked that IPCC draft report. If you're listening, you are trying to help us all see the truth, and you've done something valuable for the planet and
Thank
all
you.
Of humanity. Be well, everyone.
Take great care.
This has been Extinction Rebellion Radio.
Greetings. Greetings, WBAI staff and listeners. If you work at WBAI or if you are a regular listener, you know that the current 2021 Pacifica Bylaws referendum vote closes Wednesday, July 7th at midnight. I'm Linda Perry, Program Director at WBAI Radio and WBAI.org, urging you to vote in this very important referendum, which is to replace the Pacifica Foundation's bylaws with new bylaws proposed by a group of Pacifica members. If adopted, significant modifications would be made to the Foundation's governance structure, affecting both the national and local station boards, including how you, as a WBAI staff member, and you as a listener are represented and can participate. While many have received ballots and have voted, many have not. If you are qualified to vote and have not yet received your e-ballot in your regular email, you may find your ballot arrived in your spam. Go there and search 2021 Pacifica Bylaws Amendment Vote. If you find it, open the link, scroll to the very bottom of the message where you can vote and obtain your receipt. Please do this before Wednesday, July 7th at 11:59 p.m. This way, your vote will count. Thanks very much.
This is WBAI New York, broadcasting at 99.5 FM, streaming at WBAI.org. And we have a question for you. Are you a community mover or a shaker with a passion for change? WBAI's station board election is underway through July 14th. This is a chance to help shape the future of WBAI, review the local budget, and expand the radio station's reach. WBAI's local board members will be hosting Zoom sessions over the next few weeks to guide you through how to become a candidate or nominate others to do so. No registration is needed for these sessions. Check the Pacifica calendar or the WBAI website for more details. You can also reach out directly to our local election supervisor at les-wbai2021@pacifica.org.
The 2021 local station board delegate elections are underway. A donation of $25 by June 30th gives you the right to vote and to run to serve on the board. Cast your candidacy before July 14th. Visit elections.pacifica.org to complete the nominations paperwork online and to contact your local election supervisor. Leave a voicemail on 510-993-0320 if you do not have access to a computer.
David Kenny of Everything Old is New Again every Sunday night at 10. Please join me then and please support WBAI at our brand new old number, which is 212-209-2950. Again, that's 212-209-2950. Hey, it's our old number, but it's new again. Because everything old is new again. I like it.
It's 2000 black, and of course, we're hoping that by the year 2000, we know that by the year 2000, that's even better, everybody will be knowledgeable.
This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org online. Oh, okay. Okay. I just had to have my levels set up here. Okay, this is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org online. The previous program was Extinction Rebellion Radio, heard right after the WBAI Evening News on Tuesdays at 6:30 p.m. Stay tuned for We Only Want the World with Sansara Taylor. More programming coming up. Stay tuned.